Just want to read a few words in verse 28 of that passage that was read to us. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. It is very clear, isn't it, from this verse alone, that it is this woman's faith which is central to this story, this passage here. A faith which seemed to overcome all the discouragements and the difficulties that she faced as she sought help from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can imagine very easily, can't we, the delight which Jesus felt here when he saw this woman's faith. It was so different, wasn't it, in so much of the time, because Jesus had to exhort people to believe, to have faith. And even in his own disciples, he had to rebuke them because of their lack of faith so often. And now here, in this situation, he must have been really delighted to see this woman's faith. Let me try to set the scene, first of all, here. This woman was not a Jew, of course. She lived outside of the nation of Israel, in the region of Tyre and Sidon. That's modern Lebanon today, north of Israel. And Jesus had left the region of Galilee and had taken his disciples up into this territory. It was Gentile territory. And we know that from Mark's account even, that he went into a house and he wanted privacy with his disciples. He was taking them there, away from the crowds, away from the busyness of the multitudes, away even from the badgering of the Pharisees and so on. And here then he was wanting some time with his disciples. It wasn't a holiday as such, but it was a time and an opportunity to reveal then to them God's purposes regarding the salvation of Gentiles. That's what it was, really. The faith of this woman, you see, was to be a glimpse of what the church would be later on. Do you remember how Paul says this? For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So he was the opportunity then to see this woman's faith. A Gentile having such faith. Well, let's think for a while about this woman. She came then to Jesus in great distress. Obviously, she had a great concern for her daughter, who was severely ill, and she came there to look for help from the Lord Jesus. Now, Christ's immediate reaction seems to be so different, doesn't it, from what we are used to in the Gospels. There is not that immediate compassion shown here, is there? Not on the face of it. There seems to be a very different kind of response to this woman here. And we are so used to seeing other responses from Jesus, aren't we? Now, on the face of it, Jesus seemed then to be rather abrupt with this woman. To be rather harsh, maybe you might say that. But let me say this. Before we go any further, I think we must obviously make this clear. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And he was doing this for her, as we hear in the prayer, for her welfare, for the best for her. His actions were not without compassion, of course, or kindness. He never was anything less than kind or anything less than compassionate. But what he did then was to test this woman's faith. And that's the really the theme then of this passage this evening. We are thinking about God testing our faith. And when we look at this then, we see how many difficulties she faced, how many discouragements she faced, and yet she overcame them all in the end. So I want to look at that this evening very briefly. So let's look first of all at the obstacles that she faced here. And we begin, of course, with the attitude of the disciples, don't we? Verse 23, it's very clear here. Verse 23, "And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" Now, as far as they were concerned then, she was a nuisance. She was an annoyance, this woman coming like this. And so they wanted Jesus to send her away. He was a woman in great distress. And yet, of course, they didn't seem to have any kind of concern or compassion for her. They were believers. They were disciples in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had life. And yet, they were so cold and distant in this respect. Send her away, they said. If we are sometimes disappointed with other Christians, let me say this, then what must have our Lord felt here when they came with this request? Well, he didn't answer it, did he? He didn't answer their request. He paid no attention to their complaint. No, no. So Jesus here ignored what they were saying. But here is the first discouragement then, isn't it? Here is the attitude of believing men toward this woman. And yet she is not put off. She does not lose heart. She goes on, doesn't she, in her request for help. She has faith to overcome this stumbling block, if you like. And I think the first lesson that we must learn from this straight away is this: that we should not allow any kind of stumbling block to affect our faith. You know, we can be very disappointed, can't we, in the behavior of our brothers and sisters sometimes. We may find that they are insensitive to us. We may find that they are not really compassionate as we want them to be. And so we feel disappointed. We feel let down, perhaps. But the point is this: we should not allow it to be a stumbling block to our faith. It should never affect our faith in that way. We may be the ones who suffer this kind of discouragement. We may even be those who cause this kind of discouragement. But here is the first point then. Here is the first thing. She is not discouraged. She overcomes this discouragement. Now, a second discouragement is seen when Jesus deliberately remains silent. You notice that in verse 23 again. "But he answered her not a word." Not a word. Had Christ heard her plea? Well, we know that he had. But it looked as though he hadn't. It looked as though he was indifferent to her. It looked as though the door of hope was being shut in her face. He didn't say a word. He was silent. And surely this must have really, could have been a terrible stumbling block to this woman. Here she was, coming with her requests, coming with her cries to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say a word. Is he reticent to help her? Why is he so incommunicative? Why does he not say anything? Is he lacking in feeling? Is he lacking in concern? Why is he silent? You know, those of us who are Christians may often feel discouraged by God's silence. We pray about this, and we pray about this matter, perhaps, and we feel that God is not answering. We feel that he is not hearing us. And we can't understand the delay. Is it that God hasn't heard us? Is it that he doesn't care? Well, we know that that is not true, but we feel that. But then, this should never discourage us in that sense from our faith in God. It should not be a stumbling block either to us. We know from the scriptures, don't we? We know from the Old Testament and the Gospels that often God delays in answering our prayers. We don't like delays in normal life. We don't like things to be prolonged, do we? We want things straight away. We don't like to be in queues. We don't like to wait. And sometimes we feel that God is delaying answering our prayers. But we must remember this, that delay is not refusal, and it wasn't here. We see this so often in the Gospels. You remember that when Martha and Mary called for Jesus, their brother was ill, even to the point of dying. And what happened? Well, Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. And then he came. And so there was this delay. It was for the glory of God. We know that. But there is this delay. And it was here in this situation. He didn't speak for a while. He remained silent. But then let's go on to look at this. A further obstacle to her faith was this. When he broke his silence, and when he spoke. You notice this in verse 24. This is what we read. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now here the Lord is speaking about his personal ministry. He tells her that it was devoted first to the Jew. That was his policy, that he went to the Jew first, that he went into the synagogues, and so on. And this was the general rule. Of course, he made exceptions, just like this woman here. But the general rule was to go to the Jew first. We know this if you turn to Matthew chapter 10, just a few pages back. Look at chapter 10, and let me read just a few verses from verse 5. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so on. Here he was sending out his disciples. And the thing was that they should not go to the Gentiles, that they should go to their own countrymen first. Now again, it seemed as if he was saying no to her, did it not? It seemed as if the door again was closing in her face. But you see, this woman knew that although she was a non-Jew, although she was not a daughter of Israel, although she was not in the covenant, as it were, that didn't put her off, because she continued to have faith, didn't she? Look at verse 25. She goes on. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was such that she believed that he wasn't just a savior to the Jew only, but that he was a savior to all people. This is what she believed. This is what came from her heart. She believed this with all her heart. He was more than a savior to the Jew. He was a savior to the Jew and the Gentile. Even her faith triumphed over this. But then came the greatest test of all. You notice that in verse 26. Here it is. But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Well, this could have spelled complete failure as far as she was concerned. This is the end. What more could he say to put her off? And yet, of course, she was not put off. She went on in faith. What was he saying here? Well, he was saying that in God's purposes, the blessings of salvation were to be offered first again to the Jews. But we know that God's purposes was to offer salvation to all men. Every creature, everyone, despite, irrespective of where they come from, their background, their status, whatever it is, you offer the gospel to them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this was the heart of God. But you see how her faith shines out here. She is not taking this as a stumbling block. It is not a closed door as far as she is concerned. But look at the humility here of this woman. Here is the picture. Oh, the children. Well, they get the food. They get the food. Well, she is not a child of Israel. Ah, yes. But the little dogs under the table, well, they get the crumbs. Well, can she be a little dog? Yes, she can. But she is not inferior. And he doesn't treat her as inferior. No, no. Great is your faith. Oh, woman, great is your faith. He is not treating her as an inferior at all. Now let's try then to sum up the spirit of this woman and then just take some lessons from this little passage. How can we sum up this woman's spirit? Well, I think we can sum it up with some words of Jacob. You know them very well. They're very familiar. He is wrestling with this glorious person, the angel of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Isn't that right? Here she is. "I will not let you go until you answer me, until you bless me." That's the spirit of this woman. This woman, with all her difficulties, with all her obstacles, she would just not let him go until he answered her. The disciples, of course, misunderstood this woman as far as they were concerned. Well, she was a problem for Jesus. But he wasn't concerned about that. Her faith was not a problem at all. It was a glorious thing. It was a lovely thing. Her faith was something wonderful. And he rejoiced in her faith. Great is your faith. There are not many passages or there are not many verses where Jesus gives such praise to a person's faith. But here is this Syrophoenician woman. She is not even a Jew. She is outside the covenants of Israel. And yet she has such faith. And she does not allow anything to present a stumbling block as far as she is concerned. Now, we sometimes think of faith in the wrong way, I think. What is the nature and character of faith? Well, you know, some people think that it's automatic. I read somewhere, somebody was saying that it's not like a thermostat. You know what a thermostat is. You have a central heating system. And when the temperature goes down, the thermostat just operates automatically. And then when it's too hot, the thermostat operates again and the temperature goes down. And they think of faith like that. Well, it's something automatic. Do you remember those disciples in the boat in the storm with the Lord Jesus Christ? And they were panicking, weren't they? They went to him. They thought he was unconcerned about them. He was asleep. Why should he be asleep in the storm? Doesn't he realize that they are perishing, they said. And they woke him up. And he then rebuked them, didn't he? Where is your faith? Well, I know you have faith, but where is it? You should be applying it now. You should be exercising it now. You see, it wasn't something automatic that suddenly started when they were in a trial, in a tribulation, when they were in danger. No, faith is not like that. Faith is active. Yes, we are given faith as a gift from God. It is something that he gives to us in his love. But we live by faith. We walk by faith. Faith is something to be exercised. It is not an automatic thing. When we are in trouble, it doesn't suddenly start up and operate. No, we have to exercise and apply our faith to every situation that we are in. And we must not be controlled by the situation. And this is why we must exercise faith in times of difficulty. And here we see this woman. What is she doing? She is exercising her faith. She is not allowing anything to prevent her from coming to the Lord and receiving from him his blessing. She will not allow anything to interrupt that. Now, as I say, it's sometimes the case, isn't it, that we feel let down or disappointed in some way by another brother or sister who treats us unkindly, perhaps, or in a way that we are not really wanting or not expecting. And then we feel hurt and our faith is somehow affected by this. Well, it shouldn't be. It should not be. We should not allow anything to affect our faith in Christ, because he is always the same. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. He is always in control. He is always sovereign in every situation in our life. And so here then is a very little simple illustration of what faith is. Faith is trusting and having that dependence upon God and not allowing anything to affect it. And this is what we see here in this lovely example of this woman's faith. Now, let me ask you this evening. Let me ask you this. Do you have faith, first of all? I'm sure most of you do. It is God-given, isn't it? It is wonderful to have faith. But is your faith growing? It is like a muscle, isn't it? We have muscles in our body. What happens if we don't exercise? What happens then? Well, they atrophy, don't they? They get weak and flabby. We must exercise. Well, it's the same with faith. Is your faith growing? Is it becoming stronger? Is it becoming less vulnerable, if you like? Is it like this woman? I won't allow anything. No, not even the disciples' attitude to put me off. I won't allow Christians, however they treat me, to put me off from trusting in Christ. I won't allow situations and circumstances that arise in my life which I cannot understand even. I won't allow those to put me off trusting in Christ. You see here, this woman's faith triumphed over all these difficulties. Well, does our faith triumph in this way? I do hope it does, and I ask my soul, my own life, is it like that with me? And so often I fall and you fall and we all fall. But Christ is so tender, as we heard in the prayer. He is extremely and infinitely tender. And when we do fall, he forgives us and picks us up. Yes, we can be rebuked so often. We can even disappoint him, but we can still go to him and still seek him and still put our faith and trust in him. Well then, let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the love and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we thank you that we are his little children and that he cares for us, and that, O Lord, so often we may be weak and we may question things, and yet he loves us still and draws us to himself. And O Lord, we pray that our faith might please him. O Father, we thank you for the reaction of the Lord Jesus Christ when he saw this woman's faith, and we pray that we might even have that kind of faith that truly delights the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us, Lord, we pray, as a company of your people. We thank you, Lord, for your gifts, and we thank you for this fellowship especially. We thank you for the love and warmth that exists between brothers and sisters. Father, what a witness it is. And we thank you, O Lord, that there is a holiday coming, and we do pray that you would, O Lord, go ahead of your people, and may they know your presence there in a very wonderful way. And may you reveal more of yourself to them, that they may grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and in grace. Hear us then, Lord, we pray, for his sake. Amen.